Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Deuteronomy, chapter 11. I'd like to read from verse 1 through verse 12. Entitle the message like this: God watches all year long. God watches all year long. Tried to challenge you last Sunday as we closed out the old year about accountability and look back and the sense of a responsibility that we have to the entrustments that are ours and to know that we'll give an account of our stewardship one day. Now I want to take this text, and of course this is a setting where Moses is preparing Israel to go into the promised land. They have been in the wilderness journey now for quite some time, for over 40 years. In fact, they wandered in the wilderness for 42 years. They wandered for 2 years, were brought to the border of the land at Kadesh Barnea and failed to go in. They wandered another 40 years, and a generation of folks perished out in the wilderness. And God now is, through this man Moses, preparing them. And Moses is going to be describing the land and with some statements about it. And I want to run the simile, the parallel, to the year that's before us. Because as we look at this new year as a prospect, and I realize that with God there's no such thing as time as we know time. But we do mark things by time, and certain points in the year will remind us of certain things and draw them to our minds in special attention. Certain days, for example, like a wedding anniversary, and most of the guys have learned never to forget those. But it draws our attention back to something that is going on and the prospect of life before us. And just days do mean something, and this is really the first Sunday into this new year, and I want to challenge you with the thought that you're not going to have to face it alone. God's going to be with you. There'll be some challenges in this year, just as there was a challenge to the children of Israel as they were going into the land of promise. But as Israel would go into that land, God was going to go with them, and He has some things to say about that land. So I want to find our text in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11 and read these first 12 verses. But before we do, let's take a moment and pray. Father, again, it's my privilege to approach the throne of grace, and I do so in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask, Father, that You will honor Your Word and bless it to our hearts today as we read it. Enable me to preach this message like it ought to be preached. And again, glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, for I pray in His precious name. Amen. Verse 1, Deuteronomy 11. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. Know you this day, for I speak not with your children which have not known and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand and His stretched out arm, His miracles and His act which He did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. What I did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, how you made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, how the Lord had destroyed them unto this day. What he did unto you in the wilderness until you came into this place. What he did unto Dathan and to Abiram and the sons of Eliab, the sons of Reuben. How the earth opened their mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which He did. Therefore shall you keep all the commandment which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither you go to possess it, that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence you came out, where thou sowedest thy seed and wateredest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And thus we see our thought as a title to our message this morning, God watches all year long. I remind you again that Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, preparing them to go into the land. Keep in mind that Moses, of course, is not going to be privileged to go into the land physically at this time, but he will be taken up into a mountain, and there he will die, and the Lord will bury him. His body secluded from seeking hands and eyes, and he'll not get to go into the land at this particular time, but the children of Israel will go in. And so the Lord is preparing this people. And I want to just challenge you with the year that is before us. Whenever the children of Israel would actually go in to this land, Joshua would be in leadership and he would say, you've not gone this way before. This is going to be a new year, new opportunities. There'll be experiences in life that will be different and distinct than anything else we've had in our lives this coming year. But keep in mind that God watches all the year long. We notice in our text that we're just trying to get the introduction here that this land where they're going is not like the land of Egypt. I think that some folks are disappointed because they, whenever they embrace Christianity, and if they do so in a superficial way, they're thinking that their life is just going to be a refurbished and a refined life of the old life, but that's not the case. This is not going to be like the land of Egypt. It's going to be different. As I deal with folks, I always like to be very honest with them about their soul's need. As I deal with a person about their soul's need, I try to convince them and encourage them to know that what they're entering into is something distinct and different from what they've ever experienced in their life. That the new life is going to be different than the old life. If you're looking for the old life and just kind of want it refined, you're looking in the wrong place. You need to go down to some club where you can be encouraged and bolstered up psychologically, and you can be motivated to just reform. But the truth of the matter is that when our Lord Jesus Christ accepts us, He makes us brand new in Jesus Christ, and our lives are distinct and different. It's not like the land of Egypt. God said to the children of Israel here through Moses, the land is not like Egypt. This is a different story. This is a different experience in your life. And I always try to encourage folks, if you're not ready for a new life, then you're not ready to receive Christ yet. And that's the truth. And I present to you that here Moses said, this land is not like the land of Egypt. It's a land that God watches over. It's a land that God is involved in. And He watches all the year long. So I want to just take a few major points this morning and apply them to our lives and look at the similarities in our text and challenge you with this new year that we have before us. As we think about the land where the children of Israel are going, we cannot help but think about the gift of the land. The gift of the land. Now, it's not a land that they have earned. It's not a land that they are going in and they're laboring for. But God has given this land to them. The first thing I would remind you of is that God said to Abraham, when he first came into the land, I want you to walk up and down in it, to and fro in it. And wherever the sole of your foot steps, I'm going to give that to you and to your seed after you. Then he put the circumstances that would be involved about his seed being in bondage for 400 years. And then he would bring them out with his mighty arm, with a demonstration of his power, and bring them to this land. But it's a gift. I present to you today that this year that is before us is a gift of God. Whether we want to own up to it or not, the truth of the matter is that life itself is a gift of God. Eternal life, we understand, is a gift of God, because the Bible said, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But keep in mind that life itself is a gift of God as well. You and I would not have the capacity to draw breath today, were it not just for God's goodness and His gift to us. And the year that is before us is a gift of God. Just as the land of Canaan was a gift to the children of Israel. It is theirs by covenant and not by labor or by some act that they will perform that would make them worthy or present them worthy before God. It's a covenant that God has made. You realize today that as we think about the land of promise, it's by covenant made to Abraham. So the life we have in Christ in this year before us is by God's design. God promised us life in Jesus Christ, and He's given us life in Jesus Christ, and that's the only source of life. We look at this gift of the land in retrospect and look back to the history of the children of Israel, as we have read in our text here, that they have been redeemed out of Egypt. Now, I will elaborate on this a little bit more as we think about the land of Egypt and the comparison to the world so forth in just a moment. But I want you to understand that the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt and they could not free themselves. Remember, even Moses, the one whom God has determined would be the deliverer, tried it too early and it did not work. They could not be brought out. But God will bring them out. And He's going to do so under the blood of the Passover lamb. He redeemed all of the firstborn of the children of Israel through that blood so that the death angel would not touch those homes. And He brought that massive army out of the land of Egypt by the very fact that He's made a covenant. And He redeemed them out of that land where they had gone into and had served there with rigor for all these years. As we look into the land that is before the children of Israel, and as we look at our year that is before us, God has led them here. This is a place now where Moses must depart their company. He'll be taken up into the mountain, remember, and he will die there before the Lord. But God had brought the nation of Israel to this place, and Moses wants them to understand, you didn't get here on your own. God has brought you to this very good hour. Now, let's run the parallel for a moment. God's given us a year. He's brought us here. Let's get some ideas about what we ought to be doing with this year. Let's focus our attention upon some things that are very important in our lives this coming year. I believe that from a standpoint of a church, we need to be very conscious of the Great Commission to preach the gospel unto the uttermost part of the earth, to every creature. I think that it's our responsibility to do so, to see that souls are informed of Jesus Christ and have the opportunity to believe to the saving of their soul. God has brought them to this place. God has brought you to this good hour. You're not here just by chance, but you've been brought to this place that you might serve God. And the truth of the matter is, when we come down to the whole focus of life, our sole responsibility and really our duty is to just glorify the Lord. Honor Him in our lives. That's the whole duty of man. And God will, in the finality of this, give them the land or give us this year. Now, as we think about the gift of the land, let's go on to the second point I want to deal with in this message this morning, and that's the nature of this land. The nature of this land. Again, it's not like Egypt. This is different. Every one of us that are of any age at all can look back. And, of course, we're talking about saved folks this morning. And we can look back and see a marked point in history. The Apostle Paul, when he gave his great defense before Agrippa and others, he said to them, he said, there's some folks here that know me and have known me all of my life. And said, they just tell the truth about it. They'd know what I was. And he made his defense before them and said, this is what I did before. I thought I served God. I did so with deep conviction. He said, I persecuted believers into prison and even unto death. He said, that was a past of my life. And you can read that in Acts chapter 26. And I encourage you to read that testimony and think about it and see the points of importance in Paul's life. There came a time when he said, one day on the road to Damascus, He said, I had letters of authority to continue what I was doing. But there was a light shining round about me above the brightness of the noonday sun. He said, I fell to the ground. He said, I heard a voice. Others just weren't sure what it was. They thought maybe it thundered something. But they were all stricken with fear. But he said, I heard a voice. And he said, in that voice, the question was raised. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? His response was, who art thou, Lord? The response again is, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And in his defense later on, Paul would say to Agrippa and to those others that were listening that day, I have not been disobedient to that heavenly vision. What God pointed out to me that day, I surrendered myself to. And he did so in his life. And I present to you that Jesus Christ makes a difference in the life. This land that you're going into is not like the land of Egypt. He said, in Egypt you sowed your seed and you watered it with your foot, in verse 10. I remember reading of Egypt, studying of Egypt back in my geography classes, back probably in somewhere around the third grade. And this is one of the things that I've always remembered as I studied the land of Egypt. How that they used the pivot pole and they dipped the bucket down into the Nile River. They'd swing it over and water the land that was very fertile on the banks of the Nile. But I see in what Moses is describing here, human effort. If you're going to live in the world and you're going to make your place in this world, you're going to have to labor for it. You're going to have to sow it, and you're going to have to water it. But God's giving them a land. The nature of this land is that it's different. It's not like Egypt. Now, you and I ought to labor in the cause of Christ, but not for our benefit in that sense of the word, but just simply because God loved us, gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, and we ought to be bound by love to serve Him who loved us and died for us. We ought to be much like the bond slave of old. After he had been indentured for a time and it came the year of Jubilee and the servant would be set free. This is in the economy of Israel. There would be a time that some would not want to go free. And we're told that if a man had served his master and that master had been good to him and he did not want to go out free, he would go to his master and tell him he didn't want to be set free. And he'd put his ear against the post of that house and they'd drive an awl through his ear and designating him a bond slave, a bond servant, to that home forever. And I present to you that you and I ought to be bound to Jesus Christ as a bond servant today, realizing that He's the best master we've ever had. Satan was not a good master to us. This world was not good to us. But Jesus Christ is good to us today. And I present to you, one, that we ought to be indentured to. This land is a land that the Lord cares for in verse 12. This year that is before us as believers today is a year that God cares for. God's going to take an active part in our lives this year. Some of you are able to look back with thanksgiving to the past year. Some of you voiced that in our time of testimony just a week ago in the watch night service and spoke of God's blessings upon you and how God had been good to you, and God has certainly blessed me as I look back into the past. But I look forward to a year where God still cares and will care for us. It might be in a different fashion than it was last year, but God still cares. We're not going into a year that God's not going to be active in our behalf. We're not facing life alone this morning. This is a land that the Lord cares for. And in that thought, we are told that the eyes of the Lord are always upon it. I realize this morning that we very well might come to that place that we wonder, is God really looking after me? Is He looking upon me? Does God really see the depths of the sorrow of my heart, the anguish of my mind? But God does. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous according to the Word of God, and His ears are open unto their prayer. We're not facing a year alone. The Lord cares for the land all year long. The eyes of the Lord are upon it. You're not going to face it alone. But God sees, and actually He sees it far better than you. And He starts the year and He ends the year. This year that is before us. It'll be a year in company with the Lord himself and not having to stand alone. Now we're told that we're still dealing with the nature of the land. We're told in our text that it is a land of hills and valleys. Land of hills and valleys. In that I see that there will be some high points, there are going to be some low points. But as far as the land itself, this made it a good land. Do you realize this morning that we would be very humdrum if we didn't have some contrast in our lives? I remember a person talking to me years ago. And they said, if we can just get through life, basically what they were saying, and I don't have any difficulties, I'd like that. And I said, you mean to tell me that you want to live all of your life, you don't want any troubles, but you're also saying you don't want God to use you? Sometimes God has to work in our lives and to bring some difficulties. Tribulation worketh patience, for one thing. You follow the process in the book of Romans, you'll find out that it leads to a place that we'll have confidence in the Lord and have boldness in our faith that we can serve God. But you want just a life that's mundane, that does nothing but just live and exist? Or do you want a life that God's going to bless and going to use and going to work and mature you? It's going to be a land of hills and valleys. The book of 1 Kings chapter 20. There's a Syrian king named Ben-Hadad. It's an interesting chapter. I encourage you to read it sometime at your leisure. But Ben-Hadad had quite an army. He had 32 kings, actually, and what we'd call princes today, that were with him and in that army, and he brought a massive army against Israel. He thought he could take the land of Israel without any great effort at all. But God saw to it that his army was defeated and destroyed. He went home, and his counselor said to him, Ben-Hadad, what you need to do is amass you another army, man for man, like the army you lost. Only this time, eliminate the princes, take out the kings you had there, and put generals in their place, military strategists. And when you go back, you can take that land. And he said, what we need to do is go down and fight with them in the low places, in the lowland. They said, their God, Israel's God, is a God of the hills, but he's not a God of the valleys. That's what they said over in their secret councils back in Syria. Ben-Hadad believed that. But whenever they came against Israel again the next year at the same time of year, with that renewed army and all the forces that he had, God said to Israel, I'm going to give them into your hand for this very reason. Because they said, God is the God of the hills, but he's not the God of the valleys. And I want them to know that I am the God of the valleys, just like I'm the God of the hills. And I want you to know this morning that God is the God of the valleys, just like he's the God of the hills. And so when Ben-Hadad came, God gave that Syrian army again into the hands of Israel. I would remind you this morning that God is everywhere present. You don't believe that, read Psalm 139 in its entirety. So you'll find out you can't go anywhere away from the presence of God. You can go to the farthest isle of the sea and isolate yourself on that island. God's still there. You can go all the way to heaven and you'll find God. You can go to down into the depths of hell and you can find God. You say, is God in hell? Yes, he controls it all. There's no place of harm to God. He created the place. I present to you that God is everywhere present. You can't get away from him. Oh, this morning, let me just take an aside for a moment and say to anybody here that might not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin, what you think is hidden, and it might be hidden from the eyes of men, but it's not hidden from the eyes of God. Every sin, every wicked thought, every thing that you've ever done in your life, it's open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God's everywhere present. But for the believer's sake this morning, as we face this new year, we'll go with the presence of God. He's everywhere present. It might be into a great trial. It might be into a difficulty. It might be onto a mountaintop where we see the sun brighter than we've ever seen it before. But God's always present with us, whether it is in the high times or the low times of our lives. God is everywhere present. Hills or valleys, God is always God in that place. So it will be a land of hills and valleys. I would not dare to promise you that this will be a trouble-free year. But I want you to know that if you have trouble in this year, you'll not walk alone. God is everywhere present. Again, as we think about the nature of the land, it's a land that God cares for in verse 12. God cares about this year. He takes a very vital interest in your life. God's interested in every believer. God does not have a child today that he's not concerned about nor cares for. It is a land that God watches over and God will watch over. Third major point this morning as we look into this message, Israel's responsibility. Israel's responsibility. What was Israel responsible to do? Well, in verse 16, Moses said, you need to keep your heart before God. Keep your heart before God. That means that you stay in a place of fellowship with him. That your heart is bound in allegiance to the Lord himself. Again, in verse 16, not only should you be bound to him, but you need to stay in the way. Let me read for you verse 16. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. I present to you that Israel's responsibility was to keep their heart before God and stay in the way. Just stay in the way. What can we do then to stay in the way? Well, there's some things I want us to understand. And you'll look into the first verses that we read in chapter 11 of the book of Deuteronomy this morning. You'll find out one of the things that God immediately begins to speak of is his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments. Now, all of these statements, all of these words refer to the Word of God, but they refer to the varied aspects of the Word of God. So we could sum it up and say this: this coming year, stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. What are we going to do with the Word of God? First thing you need to lay it up in your heart. Lay it up in your heart. David said, I've hidden thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Who are we going to sin against? We sin against the Lord. What? How do we keep from sinning against the Lord? Hide his word in our hearts, so that our heart is immediately convicted and touched whenever we turn from the path onto an evil way that would lead us to some real heartache and destruction. Lay the word of God up in your heart this year. Purpose to read it this year. Purpose to memorize it this year. I would encourage these young folks as well as old to hide it in your heart and store it in your mind so you can call on it in a day of trial in your life. Lay it up in your heart. Keep this Word of God before you. If we read all of this chapter, we'd find that they were to bind it before their eyes. They were to bind it upon their hands. They were to put it on their doorposts. They were to just keep the Word of God before them this morning. Wouldn't be a bad idea to read the Bible through this year. Give yourself to it. Keep to the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. Then keep the Word yourself, and then teach it to your children in verse 19. You shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Early in the morning, get up with it. Go to bed with it. In between, discuss it with your children. Teach your children the Word of God. We're talking about now how we're going to keep our heart before the Lord. Now, teach it to your children, and then display it publicly. In verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house, upon thy gates. Oh, don't be ashamed of the Word of God. I tell you what, this book is truth from beginning to end. It's truth. And we dare not be ashamed of it. I'll tell you what, you're reading, and some of you folks are still in school, you're reading textbooks that will be outdated maybe next year. It seemed like when I was in college, every book I bought, it was the last year they used it. And I've got a bunch of books that they're just at the end of their usefulness and outdated. And I never could sell them back. I want you to know this book won't get outdated. It'll be here next year. And if you happen to live another year and another year, and if you lived 100 and more, it'll still be the Word of God. It's still our delight today. So teach it to your children. It's a book that'll never become obsolete nor outdated. Display it publicly. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. If you do so, God will bless you. Let me read for you from verse 22 through 25 of this same chapter we read from this morning. If you shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. You shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. And I present to you, you can read on through it, and you'll see how that you can stand before the enemy. But I present to you this morning that if you'll just stay with the Word of God, God will bless you for it. He'll make it a prosperous year. This is a new year before us this morning. We've not been this way before. But we're going to walk this way. If you're not saved this morning, you've got a very troubled way because you won't have the Lord with you. Now, I realize you may have sown your seed, you're watering it with the foot as the Egyptians do. You're making your plans in the world. But I would encourage you today to make your plans in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yield to Him this morning. Surrender the heart to Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. And walk this coming year with Jesus Christ. And as a believer, make this commitment. If you make one resolution this year, resolve in your heart to stay with the Lord, to stay with His Word. Now I realize that we